Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome, friends and families and visitors. Welcome to everyone who's gathered with us today. I know today seems, well, a lot of different emotions might be present with us today. And we want to just name that wherever you are today, this morning, we welcome you. Care for one another in these difficult times for our national life. But today it is good to be here together, and together we will encounter God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. So let us begin with the words printed in our bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down, and he will bind us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up, that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is sure, sure.
I invite all those who can stand now for our opening hymn, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church with and for you.
Thank you.
name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Friends, at this point, we ask our children, we invite our children forward for a children's message. And bearing no sermon in our midst, welcome all my children. It's always awkward to have a hard conversation with a child about difficult things going on in the world. And, well, that's what I was going to try and have with our children this morning. And that is in my previous iteration of what I was going to do, to say, hey, things are hard right now. What do you do when things are hard? I'm open to suggestions.
Pray.
I hear pray.
Get depressed.
Cry.
Take a nap.
Yes, don't neglect the power of a good nap. Even grief needs to take a break sometimes. So take a nap. Well, I did hear it too. We can always pray. That sometimes can seem like we say pray as in like I can't do anything else, so the only thing I can do is possibly pray. I don't think that's the way we should approach that word. It should be really the only best thing you can do in moments like this is to pray. This prayer is our connection to the divine life, to the divine will. And if we pray for peace, then maybe we can become peacemakers. And so that's what I was going to do with the children too. You know, for our friends and visitors and anyone else who needs a reminder or doesn't know this, but we do have candles on our side altar. And there's always an invitation for anyone during the service, after communion, before the service, to come light a candle as a prayer. And we have small candles and a sand bowl with the candles. So I invite anyone who wants to do that at some point in the service. I was going to do that with the children as a reminder. So let us light a candle and pray for peace. And as our custom is, we pray with the children, we invite everyone to bring their hands together on the count of three. So 1, 2, 3. Please repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Please be with the world.
Please be with the world.
Bring peace.
Bring peace.
May I be a peacemaker.
May I be a peacemaker.
Amen.
Amen.
And dear friends, our choir is going to lead us in an anthem, and then Lynn Moody, who is our assistant minister, has to transition from the balcony to the pew, so just give her some time to do that.
Thank you.
were supposed to sing that song last week, but Tammy was sick. Perfect.
Perfect timing.
I'm sorry she was sick. Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 12. Hear now the word. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm may be found on page 5 of your bulletin. I will read the light print. Please reply with the bold print. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore.
Our second reading is from Romans, the 4th chapter. Hear now the word. What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression. For this reason, the promise depends on faith in order that it may rest on grace, so that it may be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
Come from God, for no one can do these things that you do apart from the presence of God. Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astounded that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite everyone to just take a deep breath. Maybe the deepest breath you've taken all day. It's, in the midst of Saturday, I have that dilemma on, do I rewrite my sermon? And I'm tempted to do that, and I actually am preaching without notes today, so bear with me. I didn't really want to do that, but yet, at the same time, I want to say something, but I don't really know what to say. As you know, I'm not a military analysis or a political expert, I'm a pastor. So I don't know any profound things to say at this moment. Other than we all feel that anxiety. We're all asking some questions. And hopefully as a community, we can be there for each other. My door is almost always open during the week. If you want to come by for coffee or conversation or for prayer, you can do that at any time. You can call or email in advance to make sure my door will be open. But if it's closed, I'm in a meeting. But be there for each other. Know that the church is here for you. And whatever will come after today, we'll be here for you. There is, however, a point where what I wanted to say and the events of the last few days somewhat coincide, or there's a theme there I want to touch about. And that is maybe what the true meaning of faith, I shouldn't even say true meaning, what does faith mean? It's a word we use all the time in the church, and I don't know necessarily if we even understand what it means. But to add confusion to that question, what's the opposite of faith? Well, that's the age-old debate, right? And a lot of times, on the popular level, we think that doubt is the opposite of faith. That's never sat well with me. I think doubt, and indeed, is an integral part of faith. This faith is this trusting in the midst of uncertainty, and so there has to be uncertainty of it for there to be faith. Matter of fact, I think only someone who has great doubt can have great faith. Now, there are some theologians who will argue that the opposite of faith is disobedience. And I think if you look either at the writings of the Apostle Paul or the prophets of the Old Testament, you can make a very good argument that the opposite of faith is disobedience. But that also doesn't quite sit with me too. So in my mind, and this is my opinion only, you can take it or leave it, the opposite of faith is certainty. Like, I didn't have to have faith this morning that it was Sunday. If you have a job or ever had a job, you typically didn't have to have a lot of faith when it's your Monday. It just was, and you had to go to work. It was Sunday today. I didn't have to have trust in that. However, that we have attendance, that people come, that's a lot less certain. And so my weekly prayer leading up to Sunday is that the Spirit will bring whoever needs to be here for this given Sunday. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but that's my trust. Trust the Spirit will bring who needs to be here. And I know at times people will say, like, why do I have such disdain for certainty? And my disdain from certainty, and if you know me at any level, you know I cannot abide certainty, is that certainty breeds a level of arrogance, or can breed arrogance. But more importantly, certainty almost always is an issue of control. And I don't understand why people who are most certain are the same people who are most the fastest to use force or compulsion on their certainty. And it doesn't matter whatever political side or polarized side you live in or you believe in or you think in. Any position that is certain seems to always come with it a level of compulsion. Certainty wants control. Faith is an invitation to a relationship. And we enter the life of God through faith. Not through control, not through compulsion, not through force, but by an invitation of love. And that seems to be the central issue of our text this morning. Nicodemus comes to Jesus. He's looking, I think, for certainty. He has a question. It's not framed as a question, but I think it's a question. Are you sent from God or not? And the answer could be a simple yes, and these are the X, Y, and Z things you need to do if you want to be on the right side of history. But that is not the answer Jesus gives him. To be honest, I don't know that Jesus gives him an answer. It's more of a riddle. And I think if anyone knows what this text is about, they don't understand it. It's a bit of a mysterious riddle of a text. And it revolves around this word again or above. We see it multiple times in our text, and it's the same word in Greek. It can mean either again or above. I know this is a little confusing. But when you have a word that can mean two different things, and you have two people in the text and they're understanding it two different ways, I want to illustrate this. Nicodemus thinks the word above means again. And again is a temporal word. It doesn't touch the source. Like if you want to become a good musician, just practice that movement again. Maybe 10,000 times, you'll be good. If you want to learn a new skill, again, practice that skill again. You are the source of the change you want to see. The word above, however, that means you are not the source. The source comes from something outside of you. You have, guess what? No control. Now, the history of interpretation of this text would lead us to believe that everyone who's interpreted this text and then tried to figure out how to control it, but that's for another day. But Jesus says, hey, the Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it comes, you don't know where it goes, it's just blowing all over. There's not a whole lot you can do about it, unless it's the entrance to faith. And I know that doesn't sit well if you want to control the world. Doesn't sit well if you want to control yourself, to just surrender, to trust. But the Spirit is here. The Spirit is moving. We can't control the Spirit. We just, hopefully, want to participate. And in these times, let us remember that the invitation of Jesus to us is to encounter a God who is love. For God so loved the world. He didn't say God so wanted to control the world. But God wants to love the world. And love is something that can bring true transformation. But again, let us remember, love comes from another who loves you. It's not of you. All we can do is receive it. And so, friends, we have a table. We are told that God is promised, that Christ is here for us at this table. I believe the Spirit is present, the Spirit is blowing, and you are all invited in to eat at this table, to commune with God, to journey together in these difficult times for our nation and for each individual here. And let us do that with love for each other, care for the world, and faith. So what God is doing now in Christ is the reconciliation of all things in heaven and on earth. Amen.
Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the whole world and its needs. Faithful One, you renew us by grace as you have inspired faith through the work of church artists and hymn writers throughout the ages. Give your church the means to praise your beauty today. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Living One, you delight in this world. The sun and moon, the wind and the water declare your goodness. Preserve this earth and protect conservationists, scientists, and all who labor in service to creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ruling One, you bless us to be a blessing. Open the hearts of all leaders to seek the flourishing of every person and lend your help to all who wait for justice, deliverance, and peace. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Compassionate One, you send your Son to save. Declare your word of acceptance to any who feel condemned, and lift up any brought low by hatred and exclusion. Tend to all who are struggling with illness or loss, especially Joe, Carol, Misty, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Julie, Paul, Mike, Paul, Jill, Bran, and the family of Kenneth McCandless. For immigrants and refugees, that they may be treated justly, their dignity honored, and their rights upheld. For victims of war and violence, for victims of natural disasters in our nation and around the world, and also for those people whom we name aloud or in our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Guiding One, you watch over our going out and coming in. Bless newcomers and new members in this assembly and accompany those who have recently left this community to journey elsewhere. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Eternal One, you neither slumber nor sleep. Be our keeper in life and in death. Thank you for our beloved who have died and for your promise which saves this whole world by your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, our strength and salvation.
Amen.
May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
I invite you now to share the peace of Christ with those around you. Thank you.
they say.
I invite us now to come back together. And again, please stand if you are able for our offering hymn. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its beauty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving works. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Saving the earth from the waters of the flood. Praise to you for bringing the Israelites safely through the sea. Praise to you for leading your people through the wilderness, the land of milk and honey. Praise to you for the words and deeds of Jesus, your anointed one. Praise to you for the death and resurrection of Praise to you for the Spirit poured out on all nations. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover, from death to life, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered together as one, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people. All are welcome to come forward and receive at this table. And all means all means all, which means all. In a few moments, the ushers will come and we'll start on this side of the room first. We ask you to fill in our communion rail from right to left. And you may receive communion either standing or kneeling, whatever is most comfortable for you. Only come with your hand extended. And bread is given to you, and we have gluten-free options on request. Just indicate that to me somehow. And then when the wine comes around, you can reach in and take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup, which is grape juice. You know that this table is for all. And if you wish to come forward and not receive, but only receive a blessing, you may do that as well. Come with your arms crossed, and I will say a prayer over you. But again, this table is for all, and all are invited. Amen.
Thank you.
may the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Friends, we just pause now briefly for some announcements. And we want to encourage everyone to look at your green insert called the Word of the Week. I think it's green this week. But look at the insert. Have the activities.
More blue.
Or blue, yeah. Have the activities coming up. And we just want to highlight Wednesday. We have our contemplative prayer at noon. We've expanded that for Lent, so if you want some more instruction, a little bit more of a fuller experience, encourage you to come at noon. And then at 6 o'clock and 7 on Wednesday night, we have our soup, our Lenten soup and fellowship downstairs, and holding evening prayer up here at 7. And we are in short supply of soup makers, so if that is something that appeals to you, please see our sign up on the table out front by all the goodies, and please help participate in this ministry that we do have. We also want to highlight, too, that we have a fun thing to do for Lent to help engage us in our Lenten disciplines. Lenten is a caterpillar, so it's in the bulletin, it's on the table. It's our challenge to you if you go out and do a Lenten good deed thing for the week, then tell us what it is, drop it in the cocoon at the table, and let's see what happens with all our Lenten caterpillars. You never know what happens with caterpillars. And also, I'm going to invite Sally forward for a brief message.
People what the beautiful gift bags are that are on the bench on the, let's see, west, I guess that's the south wall of the church. And what we've been doing, this is the second year, we use some Randy's Feed and Read money and generous donations, and we put together, Melody and Dan put together those beautiful gift bags that have books that meet the reading interests of children who are in foster placement. So through the foster, through the children's services, we get the names of families that just need a little extra boost, and we give them a gift bag for each child that has wonderful reading material, and then also Randy or Peggy get a Papa Murphy's gift card, and we put that in with that so that they have an easy meal for the family, and it's just another small way that we light a little light in this community. We usually do, last year we did about 12. This will be the first three for this year. And like I say, we're using Randy's Feed and Read and Feed money, and we're just being present with people who need to know that the community's out there to support them. And on the same note, every Easter and Thanksgiving, since COVID shut down the way we used to do things, we've given each family who lives at Samaritan House a $50 gift card along with a really cute card or craft made by our Sunday school children. And we're planning to do that again this Easter. So if you'd like to donate $5 or $10 or whatever towards us buying these gift cards, we'll be buying them at the end of March and getting them to the families before Easter. Anyway, thanks for all you do that help with our social outreach into our community.
Now I don't have to answer that question individually. Thank you, Sally, for all the dedicated hard work you do for us. It's appreciated. The only final thing I want to make as an announcement is to remind everyone that today at noon in our conference center or maybe up front where we end up having it. We're going to have our opening discussion about an exciting kind of ministry dream project that we have, which is the Lights of Christmas Project. So we're just shooting a signal of interest. If you want to interest and participate in what it might look like to have a Christmas lighting event here for our community next December, please join that conversation. And with that, let us prepare for the blessing. Receive the blessing of the Holy Trinity. God who calls all things into existence, Jesus Christ who redeems us, and the Holy Spirit whose breath sustains creation, bless you now and always.
Amen.